Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but we're going to start off talking today about predatory government, because I wrote a little piece on that and sent it out this week. And I start with John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What does that mean? How do we come to the Father? Christ came preaching the kingdom of God was at hand, and that we were supposed to be seeking it, and we were supposed to be seeking the righteousness of God. If we go back to the very beginning of the Bible, we see that Adam and Eve stopped seeking the righteousness of God, and they started seeking the knowledge of good and evil for themselves. They were going to decide what was righteous for themselves, what was right, what was good, and what was evil for themselves. And they ate of the knowledge of it themselves. That became their source, this tree. People argue, was it a tree? Was this a metaphor? They argue about all these nonsensical things instead of the simplicity of the message that men were going to, I mean, that's why they changed the tree into an apple tree. That Adam and Eve, they ate this apple. And what is, it doesn't mention an apple. It says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. Instead of walking with God, they hid from God and they were going to decide things on their own. And then next thing you know, more sin comes in. Brother rises up against brother, kills his brother, and we have the story of mankind. From then on is simply a repetition. And men have been blaming things on somebody else, blaming it on their wives, blaming it on their government, blaming it on somebody else. The devil made me do it. Instead of taking responsibility for the fact that they decided to decide for themselves what was good and what was evil. It is that simple. And I quoted in this little piece that I mailed out to the people on the Living Network, Dr. Edward Rivera, who's a constitutional attorney, and I've read him for years. I disagree with him fundamentally. He has many things that he points out that are true, but he is missing what the gospel is really all about. We are not trying to get back to the Constitution. We are not trying to get back to some time in the past where we imagined that we were a free people. We are trying to get back to the righteousness of walking with God according to His ways and according to His righteousness. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we should be trying to do. That's what seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the righteousness of God, is really all about. But he writes in one of his articles, the end of the monarch in America should have been the end of predatory government and taxation, but written law was just getting started. And this is an interesting point. And what I point out in the little piece that I wrote to the people on the Living Network and the people in our congregations across the country is that there is no end to predatory government until there is an end to predatory people. It is the predatory nature in our own hearts that brings about the predators of the world, and the sloth and avarice in our own hearts that snares us under the authority of those predatory people, under the Cains of this world who will rule over us by force. Cain, Lamech, Nimrod. They obtain power over us by offering us gifts, gratuities, and benefits, free porridge at the expense of our neighbor. And so God gave us a series of thou shalt nots that we call the Ten Commandments. that are telling us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. Thou shalt love the God with your whole heart, your mind, and your soul. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. From the beginning to the end, the Ten Commandments is telling you how the nature of God really works. And that this is what you need to conform to, seek out, in order to find the righteous. And when Christ was asked, what must I do to obtain eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. Now, does that mean you have to keep them perfectly? If you break one single law, that you're out forever? No, because there is grace. The prodigal son broke the law of his father. He had to leave home to do it. He had to depart from the ways of his father and his father's house. And isn't that what Cain did? He went out of the presence of God. And that's what we have been doing as individuals, as we go out of the presence of God. We apply to men who will offer us benefits at the expense of our neighbor, and we end up wallowing in the pig mire, trapped again in the system of bondage in Egypt. Everybody has done this. In every country, it is across the board. We have all been tainted with this sin of coveting your neighbor's goods. And then that, of course, will lead to other sins, other violations against the nature as man was created, so that man is no longer walking with God. Now, he also creates religions to make him think that he is walking with God, that he is being righteous. And he creates all kinds of rituals and ceremonies around these religions. You know, that you have to do this little thing and say this little thing and bow in this particular fashion and take your shoes off and cross yourself with holy water and do all these devout things. But they're all distractions away from the simplicity of the gospel. Are you walking in the love of God? Are you giving life to others? Or are you taking it away through the institutions that you have created? When it says that we are to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all creation, the word creation there is actually the word for building and institutions, things that we create. This principle of serving that Christ brought when he says, I come to serve. If he came to serve, should not we also come to serve in a way of righteousness that strengthens the poor and raises up those that have fallen down, calls men back to righteousness? Not the self-righteousness of modern religions that think they are saved because they say they believe, but do not do the things that his father has said to do through all the prophets from the beginning. John the Baptist was not a Baptist. He wasn't Methodist, he wasn't Presbyterian, he wasn't Episcopalian, he wasn't Catholic. He was called the Baptist because he performed a particular ritual of baptism. But it wasn't the water that saved you. It was this Holy Spirit that we had to immerse ourselves in. What he gave instructions along with that baptism. He said, if you have no coat and your neighbor, or someone has no coat and your neighbor has two, that the neighbor with two should share with the neighbor that does not have a coat at all. But it's only sharing in charity if you choose to do it. If you hire men to force that sharing, you are robbed of charity. Now, anybody at that time could have gone down to the temples built by Herod, the temple of Rome or the temple in Jerusalem, because he built both. And you could have gone to those temples, and you could have got baptized in the laver at those temples and registered with the scribes, which that's what scribes means, is accounted, someone who writes it down. And you would not have been idiotus. You would not have been unregistered. You would have been registered, and you would have been required to pay in to the temple treasury, which is sometimes called the Corban. That that temple treasury would have grown in money because everybody had to pay in. But it also supplied you with benefits when you were older, if you became blind, if you were injured. And the baptism of the Pharisees went all over the Roman Empire, and you could belong to that system of social welfare. That Corban, that sacrifice that you made and paid in to take care of the needy of your society was not on deposit for you when you retired. You were taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society through the sacrifices that you put upon the altar where you were registered with the scribes. But it was a compelled offering at this time. It was compelled. There was still voluntary offerings too, but it had become this social welfare compelled offering, because that's why they had to write down your name and why they had to have a membership and why they had a Sanhedrin, who was their Congress of the day, the same as there was a Senate, who was imposing a tax of Corban upon you. But you agreed to it because you said, well, this is really cool. Everybody's going to pay their fair share. No one will be left behind. But evidently, there were some that did not get the baptism of Herod. Some went out and got the baptism of John. Some would not play the predator game through the agency of their governments and their religious beliefs. They would not say, oh, you have to sign up for this, and then you have to pay in, and then the ministers of this system will take care of you when you have a need. Some said, no, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share, but you keep the right to choose to share. You remain free souls under God, in the kingdom of God, with the right to be ruled by God and not to be ruled by the scribes and the Sanhedrin and the fathers of the earth. But we have not done that. We have not followed the ways of John the Baptist, nor have we followed the ways of Christ. Someone said that it was okay to covet your neighbor's goods, as long as you just did it through government, because they divorced the gospel of the kingdom from the gospel of now, from the present time, and from the ways of Christ, which was that you were to take care of the needy in pure religion by faith, hope, and charity. Because that system of Corban, where you force the contributions of your neighbor, though they signed, only the ones that signed up, only the ones that registered, but still they had to pay in, or they could be penalized, they could be fined. You became a part of a predator system that devoured who it will. And that will was done through those who could decide what was good and evil. And that was their Congress. That was their Sanhedrin. That was their kings. That was their rulers. That was their princes. Call it by any name you want. That is the antithesis of what Christ came to say. It is the opposite of what John the Baptist was preaching. That you were to take care of the needy in pure religion, unspotted by that system of Corban, of sacrifice, that makes the word of God to none effect, that works real well at first, and then does not work at all, and brings to an end liberty under God. And that is where people have gone. They have not followed the ways of Christ. John was preaching the kingdom of God was at hand, and that we should make straight the way of the Lord. But modern churches have turned the gospel that was preached by him and by Christ and by the apostles into something of unrighteousness. They're all whited, they have their beautiful buildings, and they sing wonderful songs, and they praise, and they pat each other on the back, and they hug each other, and they shake each other's hands, and they build great things, hospitals, all sorts of things. And they have charity amongst them. But they also go to men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority one over the other, and they apply to them What is the difference between applying and praying? What is the difference? Isn't a prayer an application for something you desire? Dear Lord, please give me this. We are to pray for our daily bread from God. But instead, most people, over 50 million people in America, get food stamps. You cannot get food stamps or EBT cards or whatever it is. You cannot get that unless you pray to the government to give you one. You have to apply to the government to give you one. And what do you need to apply to the government to give you one? You need to be registered. You need to be registered with them, and usually that involves your birth certificate. You can't do anything in this country without a birth certificate. Hardly at all. Except maybe be president, which is a little humor there. But the reality is, you have to register your children in order to obtain those benefits. You had to do that back in the days of Rome as well. You had to register the birth of your children at the Temple of Saturn because that was their Bureau of Vital Statistics. Today, you register your children with another bureau, another temple, another institution. But that institution does not know the way, the straight way that John was talking about. It does not know the way of Christ. It is in agreement with those who do not believe in the way of Christ. Because the way of Christ and the way of John was that if there was a need, you filled that need by charity. Until John, people had tried to establish their systems of government throughout all the world, from the heavens above to the center of the earth, by force. Now, there had been systems around that were based on charity, but in that world that time, everywhere in Rome, they had moved from charity. Rome was 500, 700 years old by this time. When you start their date, they were a republic for 500 years before. They were not a republic at the time of John the Baptist. They were not a republic at the time of Jesus Christ. That had all been swept away by Augustus, the first true Caesar of Rome. He campaigned on the premise that he would return to the ways of the republic, but they never did. They moved farther and farther away. And there were many people within Rome that could still remember the old republic. A society that operated by faith, hope, and charity. With not rulers making laws, but old men giving wise counsel. Gathering the people and moving them together because of the righteousness that every man sought. The law that every man sought. That had to be written in your hearts. The social welfare state changed the nature of Roman people. And that changed the nature of Roman government. It became a predatory government. It had been on that way for some time, but originally it was a republic. People invited Rome in because Rome brought justice. Rome brought security. Rome brought a system of law and order. Rome had been invited into Judea. It did not come there and conquer it. It had come as a peacekeeping force, for Aristobulus and Hyrcanus were having a civil war over who would be king in Judea, which is always what comes about when you set up systems where the leaders can exercise authority one over the other. And the people in Judea had done this many years before with Saul, which was called in Samuel 8 a rejection of God. You see, so you don't want to get back to the days of Saul. You want to get back to the days of righteousness. You don't want to get back to the day that the people rejected God and said, we will have a ruler who can fight our battles for us, a commander-in-chief who could fight our battles for us. You want to get back to the days of righteousness where there were no kings in Israel, and each man did what was right in his own heart. And when not even a majority, but a number of the people knew and sought and served righteousness, you had a righteous government. Because it was a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and they were righteous people. And they didn't all have to be righteous. They didn't have to have 51% of the people righteous. They could have 30% of the people righteous, and they would have righteousness in the land. Because it's like having a candle. You know, if you have light in the room, there's light in the room. You don't stumble. It's just there. Even if it's just one candle. Now, if you have a 100-watt light bulb, you have more light. But you could still see with just a candle. But when there is no candle, or when that candle is hidden under a bushel basket, or put into a prison with no windows, then there is no light in the land. And today, in the world, in country after country, there is no light in the land. We go to foreign countries where the poor are, and we say we are bringing a light of righteousness, but we often don't. We bring the same system of Corbin into those places. Now, I'm not saying don't go. Today, the wealthier the country, the more it is a mission field for Christ. Because it is harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, into the straight way that John the Baptist was talking about, than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, which is another whole story, a metaphor. The eye of the needle, in my opinion, was a doorway in a walled-in city. And it was very small and very narrow. And a camel burdened with many goods cannot fit through that doorway. And if you came after they had shut the main gate, you could not bring your camel into the city where it would be safe from marauders or thieves or whatever. So you would have to take all the possessions off of the camel, all the things that were burdening him off the camel. And then the camel being so tall, he would have to get down on his knees, and then you'd have to whip him a little bit to get him to move through that little doorway. It was a little doorway because it would be hard for people easily to defend a little tiny doorway. And that's how you would get a camel through the eye of the needle, through that little, that's why they called it the eye of the needle, because it was such a small and narrow little door. So rich men can get in, but they have to unburden themselves. And today, one of the supposedly richest countries in the world is the United States, where I happen to live in the United States. And it is a very wealthy country if you look around and see all the things that people have. You go into the grocery stores and there's just food lined up on the shelves. Choices and choices and choices of all kinds of foods. And you can go to store after store, and the goods you can get everywhere, and parts for your equipment, and cars and tractors, and everything is so available. But it's really not a rich country. It is the most indebted country in all the world. It will have to work very hard to get up to broke. It cannot get up to broke at the rate that it is going broke. I mean, it's already gone broke. We're in a negative everywhere. And we have made the people collateral for this debt, so they are all human resources. Their lands are all forfeited. They don't own their lands anymore. They have legal title, but they don't have the right to the use of it. So therefore, if they do not pay the use tax, they lose their land because they don't own it. And we explain all this as a matter of knowledge, because people don't have that knowledge, because they went to their slave masters and said, teach us what we will need to know to be good slaves. And they got their free education, and they have learned how to be good free slaves. We'll tell you more about this when we return to Keys of the Kingdom in just a moment.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to tell you about the Kingdom of God. And we're talking about predatory governments, and predatory governments are the result of a predatory heart in the people, where people desire what they want, even if it is forced from the hands of their neighbors. They are willing to club their neighbors even over the head. Now, most people would, they would just be horrified of that. But the reality is, if you hire a servant to do work for you, you become responsible for what that servant does and the way in which he does it. And what we have done is we have created social welfare systems throughout the world, governments throughout the world that provide services for the people by their agents, by their leaders, by their princes, by their rulers, and the sins of those servants falls upon those they serve because of the manner in which they serve. If they wage war on a country and kill thousands, even millions of people, and you have elected those men, you have given them power, you can be held responsible. If you have been snared in such a system, like it was in Egypt. You know, most people don't realize it when they talk about in Egypt, where they were ensnared in Egypt. They were ensnared because they had to go to Egypt in order to get the bread they needed to sustain themselves through the famines. There was a famine. They spent all their money. They slaughtered all their animals. They didn't have anything left. And they actually sold themselves into bondage during these hard times. And when they sold themselves into this bondage, they had to pay 20% of everything they earned to the government. Whatever they, you know, 20% of their labor had to go to the government in some form or another. And they called that the bondage of Egypt. And everybody had to do it except for a few people that were exempt, which was the ministers, the priests of that society. And what they were, that's another whole story, and we won't get into that now. But the reality is those guys remained exempt because they already had a stipend for the services that they provided to society. And so they didn't need to sell themselves. Although today most ministers of whatever religion you're in have sold themselves for those same benefits. And they are in the same bondage. And we have all gone into that bondage. And we don't know any other system. And we go to church and they don't tell us what we've done. We've sold ourselves. And we have been snared by what should have been for our welfare. But it was a snare because what should have been for your welfare was collected by force, by Cain, by Nimrod, by the ways of Babylon, not by the ways of John the Baptist, not by the ways of Christ. Because their way was individual choice, individual right to choose, individuals giving charity to help out the needy of society. But somebody said, no, let's elect men who will decide for us and rule over us and take care of us and provide for us and fight our battles and put out our fires and arrest criminals. And then we can go into our houses and watch TV. Of course, that's not quite the way you said it at the time. And it crept up on you. It didn't just happen overnight. It happened a little bit at a time. That we got away from the precepts and principles spoken of from the early times by philosophers and prophets alike. And we could not see the foolishness of our own ways because we were so proud. We were so great. We were so us. And we decided for ourselves that this is a good way to go. And it was not. It was absolutely contrary to the ways that Christ taught, that Abraham taught, that Moses taught. And right in churches that study that very book, we were the most criminal in our covetousness. I was putting together an article on Saul Alinsky, and he wrote a book, and he dedicated it to Lucifer. But he made his greatest inroads of his philosophy, which is absolutely satanic, his philosophy. Take from your neighbor so that you can have. Force your neighbor to provide for your welfare. That's his basis of his philosophy. He is socialistic, communistic, all that kind of catchphrases and words where they do not operate by charity, they operate by force. He doesn't call people to come together to help one another. He calls people to come together to take from others. And he made his greatest progress in churches. The institutions he created are still preaching right in the churches themselves. And what he preached was the antithesis of John the Baptist's straight way. The antithesis of Christ's Corban. Because he preaches the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. The social welfare by signing up and having to pay in. And then the majority say, oh, going to have to pay in more. And going to have to pay in more. And we've written articles on this, not so secure, Social Security, etc. But it's coming about what we've been prophesying for years, what was prophesied for centuries before. What is written in the Bible that tells you what will happen. They will take your sons and daughters. They will take your first fruits. They'll take your lands. They will take and take and take and take and take. And when you cry out, God will not even hear you because you've already rejected him. You've already rejected his ways. You've already turned your back on everything that he preached. And yet you still go to church thinking you believe in Jesus. But you're doing the exact opposite of what Jesus said. You actually imagine yourself that you are saved because you believe in Jesus when you don't even know who he was and what he was saying. You put labels on him, Son of God, Messiah, Highest Son of David. Highest Son of David, that's the king. Do you know what the people said? They were told what would happen if they elected a king who could exercise authority over them. And it all happened. And by Rehoboam, they asked for their freedom back. But Rehoboam would not give it back, and it split the nation, weakened the nation, and they all went into captivity. Some of them escaped, but they were never a nation. They just wandered in the wilderness. It's sort of a nation, but never. I mean, you don't even know who they are most of the time. They just got little names on them out there, and most people don't even know what those names were, because, but what happened was Christ came back and preached what they should have been from the beginning, before Saul, before David, and became the king who set them free and said, here are the princes of a nation that I am going to appoint. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. He says this right to the apostles. He told them he was going to do it. He told them that he was going to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees and give it to others who would bear fruit. How did they bear fruit? They bear fruit because they give you back your responsibilities. And with those responsibilities comes the rights that God gave you to begin with, to be the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Not connected to the administration of government, your right remains yours. It is not a regulated right except by righteousness. So the kingdom of God is only for the righteous. It's not for those who believe they are righteous. It's for those who are actually righteous in their ways. Now they won't be perfect in that righteousness, and it's a journey back. But did not God come out to meet the prodigal son because he was on his way back to be his servant? Why did Christ tell us that story? Because there is grace for our imperfections. But we have to turn around. We have to head back to a society that is operating by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. We have to go back that way. Today I received a story in that was printed by the Washington AP. It talks about 70,000 young children would be kicked off Head Start, which is, in my book, actually good. But this will cause 10,000 teachers to maybe lose their job. 2,100 food safety inspectors' jobs are going to be canceled. Up to 373,000 seriously mentally ill adults and seriously emotionally disturbed children would go untreated under the new budget plan. 1,000 fewer National Science Foundation research grants. 1,000 fewer grants. Now, how much is a grant? It's more than $1,000. It's a lot of money. Some 12,000 scientists and students could be threatened, and many of the small business loans denied. Workplace safety inspection could be curtailed federally assisted programs like Meals on Wheels slashed, 125,000 low-income renters put at risk of losing government-subsidized housing. Now, if they hear me talking, which most of them probably are not listening to this show anyway, but if they hear me talking, they'll think, horrors, horrors. I think, wonderful, wonderful. Now you can start seeking the ways of Christ. There's going to be approximately 424,000 fewer HIV tests could be conducted by state agencies working with the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. Some 100,000 formerly homeless people, including veterans, would be removed from their current housing and emergency shelter programs. It just goes on and on. Lists all kinds of things that may disappear. Good. Good. Because they are all provided by the Corban of the Pharisees that makes the word of God to none effect. It may cause riots to come about as a cause and effect. But you know, cause and effect is the result of cause and effect, which is the result of cause and effect, which is the result of cause and effect. In other words, how did we get to this place where we need to rob every one of our neighbors in order to fund charity in this world, which is not charity? Because you cannot rob one class of citizens, take away. And I use the word rob loosely because it's not really stealing. The greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits, especially those that have strings attached. So that's why Paul says, quoting David, "What should have been for your welfare has become a snare." Because this is what has brought you into bondage. Your desire for benefits at the expense of your neighbor, directly in violation of the Ten Commandments. Directly in violation of the heart of Christ. Directly in violation by policy in the blood of Jesus Christ and the words of Jesus Christ. You're not to be praying to these men, these fathers of the earth, who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. You are to be praying in church with your ministers who provide those same benefits by the faith, hope, and charity in those that you congregate with in free assemblies. If you can't do that, I don't care what you call Jesus. And he don't care either, because you don't know him. I don't care if you use Yeshua or Yahweh or any of these other nomenclatures, because you don't know the name of Christ. Because the name of Christ is the character of Christ. And the character of Christ is that he comes to serve in a way that strengthens you, makes you whole, makes you holy, separate. In the world, but not of it. I don't care what day you take off in the week, and God don't care either. Because you don't know the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath, the principle of the Sabbath is you work 6 days and earn your day of rest. Not take a week off and have to come back and pay for it after you've been lollygagging on the Riviera. Sabbath is about debt, about working 6 days and taking your rest. It's not the antithesis of that is that you spend it before you get it. You take your day off before you've earned it. You take your vacation before you paid for it. And that's what you've done. And so it doesn't matter what day you take off for Sabbath, because you've already abandoned the precepts of the Sabbath. You see, how did we get to this point? There's a strong delusion that has crept into our thinking. Supposedly, at issue, there's $1.2 trillion of additional spending cuts over the next 10 years, including about $85 billion this year. It's not enough. It's not enough. But when these cuts, you start feeling the pain of these cuts, some of you may start to wake up. Nothing like a little kick or nudge or slap in the face to wake you up. Once you start waking up, you got to realize, hey, I got to get busy seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is the wedding feast that is talked about. We need to be seeking that. And I sent a little mail out last night. Are you coming to the wedding feast? And there was an interesting quote that I came across in the Bible, doing studies preparing for these radio shows and these recordings. And it was this idea of coming to the wedding feast, and it, and I was reading, well, if you read Matthew 22:3, and it says, "And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." And that's, of course, what we see today, because the wedding feast requires that you actually be the servants like Christ and take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity. You cannot do it through the Corban of the Pharisees and say that you're following Christ. If you got the baptism of Christ, you were cast out of the social welfare system of Corban set up by the Pharisees. You could no longer get those benefits. Today, you just get all wet. You get baptized, but you aren't going and doing what those early Christians were doing. You are still going to the Pharisees for your benefits, because you're just getting dunked in water. You're not actually getting baptized in the way, straight way of John the Baptist and Christ. You're not living by charity. You're still living by praying to the benefactors who exercise authority for your daily bread, which you buy with your EBT card. Or your food stamp, or whatever card you have in whatever state you have. You haven't been baptized. You haven't gone anywhere near the baptism of Christ. You've gone near some mindless ritual set up by false churches that you think that somehow or other you have been baptized because you got all wet. But you are no more baptized than the Christians who converted under Constantine in Milan. Because they never repented, and you haven't repented either. You're still going to the fathers of the earth. And I understand you have no other option, but that's what you, and I'm telling you to get out of the system. I'm telling you, start following the ways of Christ. You're waking up and find out that you're in a pig mire, and they're cutting your pig rations. You've been eating out of the pig trough of men who exercise authority one over the other, and he is cutting your rations, and you will not have enough. Now, you can rebel, you can get excited, you can go and riot in the streets, you can do all those things, or you can repent and turn around and start seeking the kingdom of God for a change. Matthew 22:10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Note that both bad and good were called to the wedding feast. You're all bad. Some of you have some good in you, but everybody's fallen short. I mean, the word bad there in the Greek is poneros, which is the same word that's normally translated evil and wicked ones. So just because somebody is coming to the wedding feast and trying to gather in faith, hope, and charity in congregations of record with us, don't imagine that some of them are not wicked. Don't imagine that you are righteous because you've started down this path. There's still a lot of pig stink on you. You're going to have to get cleaned up. You know, I had a friend here, and he asked about getting baptized, and he asked if I would baptize him. I said, well, yeah, but I might have to hold you down under the water a little longer than the others. The reality is that we all got stuff to shed. We all got stuff to change. And we cannot change it ourselves. It has to be changed. But at least we got to be walking in the right direction for God to change us. The father of the prodigal son ran out to meet him when he was on his way back, still far off, but coming back. He did not run out to meet him when he continued to eat out of the trough of the pig farmer. Now, I'm not saying cold turkey stuff. We already don't have enough accommodations here for everybody who wants to come here. You have to start small. You have to turn around enough so that you can still take care of your wives and your children and your husbands. And you say, okay, a wife wants to turn around and go this other way, but the husband doesn't. What does she do? This is charity. We're talking charity. We're talking service. We're talking forgiveness. We're talking virtue here. You don't have to change your status in a system to begin the walk towards a virtuous soul and individual. If you begin to change and begin to yearn for the righteousness of God and begin to pray it in your every off hour, and do what you can so that you can save others, God will see and hear your prayer, no matter how far off you are, and He will create a way, He will make a way for you to come back. He will clear your way. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be provided for you. That's the promise of Christ from the beginning. I see all kinds of people want to come out of the system, but they do not want to get into the kingdom. They do not want to take care of one another. They don't want to cast their bread upon the altars. Oh, they'll help out their buddies, but they are not going to help out somebody they don't even know. Because how does that benefit them? Then you don't really believe in the spirituality of the kingdom. Because when you cast your bread upon the waters with nothing but hope that it might come back someday, now you've got at least one letter of Christ's name written in your heart. But there are many letters to His name, many elements to His character. And so that's what we need to do. That's where we need to go. That's what we need to understand. No one is completely honest, and everyone seeks support in one form or another from whatever means that you could receive that support. But will you do it voluntarily, or will you do it by force? Will you be patient? Will you be loving? Will you be kind? Will you be forgiving? Will you be giving? Change that much in your day-to-day walk, and God will change the rest. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.